Welcome to a very special episode of the Careering into Motherhood podcast. I'm Jane Johnston. I'm going to be handing over the reins for a few months to some of our brilliant members. We have three new podcast hosts for you, all mothers, all working, and today we're going to learn a little bit more about them. I've hosted the podcast for a number of years now, and as they say, a change is as good as a rest. I've loved interviewing all of our guests, but my hope is that in handing over the mic, you'll get some new, fresh perspectives and insight to help you with whatever it is you're facing at work and at home. So without further ado, it's my pleasure to introduce you today to Casey Bain, Rebecca Newnham, and Tracy George. Let's start with our first question to you, Casey, if I may. What's been your career path so far, and how have you navigated that around motherhood?
Thanks, Jane. So I had to have a real think about it, but I think that my career path is largely born from not knowing what I wanted to do, really. So I left uni after a year of studying film. I wasn't happy enough to justify staying, and I went straight into work. Obviously, with all the options that are available nowadays, I think in hindsight that I would have been better if I'd done an apprenticeship, but options weren't always available when I was at university. So I've worked my way up from an administrator to where I am now, which is head of HR for an edtech company. It became clear quite early on that my skills lie in people, organisation and project management, really. So where I've moved my career around is I've industry hopped quite a lot. So I have worked in retail and film and TV and charity, manufacturing, construction, and now in edtech. So quite a lot of industries. But I know that I've taken something from everywhere I've been, and that's really enhanced my skills. Mm-hmm. So I think navigating my career around motherhood has been challenging at times, as I think it is for lots of people. I would say that my career progression probably stalled a little bit after having my son, who's now 12. I went back to work part-time when he was only 7 months, but that was partly out of necessity at the time, really. And there was definitely a clear feeling that the ability to work part-time at that time was a privilege and it could be taken away. So you never kind of felt 100% like you were in a stable position. I would like to think that things have changed now, but I think in some sectors they unfortunately haven't. Obviously, I'm happy with where my career is today, and I'm very career driven, and I feel that being mum has kind of enhanced and developed my skills and my empathy towards my colleagues as well, who are having families, which is really important. Yeah, and it's given me some vital skills like conflict management, which is very important when you're
definitely. Yeah. Brilliant. That's great to know that you've got a good overview of lots of different industries, and as you say, being head of people, head of HR, you know, clearly a strong sense of empathy. Rebecca, if I can come to you, you are an entrepreneur, you run your own business. What has been your path? Did you always want to run your own business?
Yes, Jane. Yeah, I always had a sense that I didn't quite fit in that corporate mold. I had a corporate career for 7 years. Never really felt it was for me in many ways. I loved elements of it, sociable bits, products I was working on, but I always remember my mum saying, "You'll find your thing." And I had an 8-year career break while I had our three daughters. And when the youngest one started school, that was when I found my thing, which was setting up my own business, which I've been running for the last 14 years, and empowering other women to have the flexibility and the work-life balance that we all deserve, I guess. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's been my path to it, and navigating it has, obviously had its ups and downs, but I feel we don't get our time back, do we? Mm-hmm. So my daughter is now 18, off to uni, hopefully, this autumn. So for me, I feel I've got where I needed to get, and it's going to be interesting. Now I'm launching my birds from their nests to see where it goes next.
Definitely. And really interesting that you had that gap and then went and did something completely different, you know, set up your own business. So I'm sure our listeners will get lots and lots of insight from you with your experience. And Tracy, if I can ask the same question to you, what's been your career path and how have you navigated that or juggled that around family commitments?
Thank you, Jane. It's lovely to be here today. So probably slightly different from the other two guests today in that I think my career only really started when I moved to the UK about 23, 24 years ago. And actually having studied psychology in South Africa, I came over here to try to get some work experience, relevant work experience in mental health, etc. So I actually registered with the company I work for now as a candidate to find some work. And they offered me a role as a recruitment consultant and then went on to sponsor me. So the rest is history. I never went back. And yes, I'm still with that company now. So I've been with TPP Recruitment for 22 years, which is where I suppose the difference comes in. It's quite unusual for people to stay in the same organization as long as that these days. But I suppose I've had a lot of opportunity to progress within that role. We undertook a management buyout in 2019. So there's a slightly more vested interest in the business and its success longer term. And yeah, the role largely is very operational. Mm-hmm. So I'm currently the chief operating officer. So get involved across the whole business. We're still relatively small, a sort of total 40 headcount at the moment. Juggling childcare, I have two daughters who are now in secondary school. And similar to Katie, I went back after 7 months, more out of necessity than anything else, if I'm honest, and negotiated quite unusually for recruitment. It's not notorious for its flexibility in terms of an industry. Negotiated 3 days a week and then within a few months increased that to 4 days. And that has been my working pattern ever since I've had children, which has worked well for me. I suppose my support structure was largely nursery in the early years. So, you know, before they went to primary school, then we switched to a nanny during primary school because that was slightly more flexible in different ways. And my husband did a period of freelancing when they transitioned to secondary school. And now there's less of that type of juggling and probably a bit more of a taxi service that comes into the flow. So yes. And then I get involved with volunteering to ensure that I keep a handle on things externally. You know, being in the same organization for that long, it does mean that you can be quite inward looking. And it's important for me to stay engaged with, you know, the wider industry and the sectors that we serve.
Brilliant. Really interesting. So we've got a really great kind of broad array of experiences that are going to it's all going to benefit our listeners, I know. So it was with Katie, Head of People, Talent Management, HR, and Rebecca running her own business, and Tracy having the almost the other end of the sort of other side of the coin, if you like, having stayed with the same organisation for 22 years. So I know you're all going to bring your own unique perspectives, which is going to be really exciting. Rebecca, can I ask, as an entrepreneur, what would you say has been your biggest challenge with the parenthood juggle, as well as, I always think that running your own business, that's like having another baby.
I was just about to say that, Jenna. Having Get Ahead is like my fourth child. Yeah. And I think some of my girls have found that. They've been a little bit jealous. So that is actually, that was my sort of top thing about being strict with my time and boundaries. And I think I've worked from home forever. So you can imagine when lockdown happened, I was the sort of the one going on local radio telling people what they needed to do, because that's what I've always done. Mm. And it was hard when I was having to pretend in some ways that I was running this, you know, HQ from actually if the doorbell went, I'd feel really like I was letting the side down. So that was hard. So it was the boundaries and time, financial strain in some ways. I think my team probably was rolling in it, which certainly wasn't the case. And then my sort of support network of being friends and family. And I was thinking when I was prepping for this question, I've got a lovely guy locally, a father of some children. He used to have my girls to me when I was running a networking meeting. I'd be dragging them around there at sort of 7:30 in the morning. And he was so helpful to me, you know, gave them breakfast, you know, so it's, but then you reap what you sow, don't you? And I've done the same for other people. So my network has certainly grown, and you know who your friends are, I think, when you need to call on them like that.
Definitely. I think someone said to me once, you know, mums are the original social network, and because we just all want to help each other out where we can. Tracy, with moving from in-person networks and communities, how important do you think online communities are, like A Careering Into Motherhood, for supporting women who work and have caring responsibilities?
Yeah, no surprise that I will say it's really important. I think when I was reflecting, I think for me, it's the diversity that a network like this brings to our sort of thought processes and patterns when we are sort of parents or juggling work and our professional and our personal lives. I think we tend to gravitate to our immediate networks, and those people usually know us or are quite similar to us. And for me, an online community really brings that diversity into play, and it helps us challenge our biases and things that we just shortcut to when we are making decisions by getting input from such a diverse range of people in a community. I also, you know, the expert coaches who input, I think it's invaluable advice that you get from people who are experienced at dealing with these challenges as part of their jobs. So I like the variety that you get through a community like this. I also think that it really encourages women to speak up and respectfully challenge their workplaces and the structures and processes within those, so that, you know, where there is a sort of unfairness or those unnecessary barriers exist, that women in a network like this can gain the confidence to really challenge that. So those would be probably my top, you know, considerations,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, interesting. And Katie, you have your career and your family commitments. Where do you turn to for support networks? Do you use online networks or in person or a mixture of both, I imagine?
Yeah, I suppose for me, I'm very lucky that I have a lot of family, and I live specifically very close to my parents. So they help out a lot. And when my son was little, my in-laws helped as well, but they live a bit further away, so it's a bit more challenging now. So I think things have changed now. He's in secondary school. I know the comment that Tracy made about being a taxi service definitely resonated with me as a mum of a 12-year-old. So things have changed somewhat. So I do still rely on family, friends, parents, friends are really helpful now. He'll go back after school, so that obviously helps as well. I suppose professionally, I've got lots of networks as well. I work with a mentor, so that really helps me. And I've built my network up over the years with professionals in similar roles to me, but within different industries, I suppose, which is really, really helpful. My work are very flexible with me as well, so that helps a lot. And it means that I never have to miss out on the important things, which are assemblies or meetings. Mm. So I think that's really important.
Interesting. Actually, a similar question to both Rebecca and Tracy in terms of what professional networks do you rely upon? We touched upon the support that you have, you know, from other women or other men to help you in terms of the family responsibilities and commitments. But what do you do? Stop with Rebecca. Where do you, especially as an entrepreneur, when you're running the ship, where do you go to for kind of career support, guidance, mentoring?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, I guess very much like Katie, I've always had a mentor coach. So I've had, I think, 8 in my 14 years the role that I've got. And I would often laugh and say I wouldn't be married or have any friends left if I hadn't had that sort of coaching from an external support network. And I'm also a huge fan of LinkedIn and networking. You know, I host a networking group, and I've always, the thread throughout the last 14 years has been the power of certainly local networking for me in Surrey, but also in London as well. So I've been very good at reaching out to the right people and not being scared to ask for opinion and advice. And the same, I love in my role as a mentor, giving that back as well. So yeah, no, it's really important.
Brilliant. And Tracy, what about you? And have you done any mentoring yourself?
Yes. So I currently work as a mentor with an organization called Leaders Plus, and they support women who return to work in sort of progressing their careers. And I've been doing that for the past 4 years. So that has really expanded my network. And it's been, again, a real diverse range of people that I've managed or had the privilege of you know, supporting during the program. But I suppose also the sectors that we serve lend itself well to a lot of networking. So there are lots of events within the charity sector to stay on top of, you know, developments in that industry, but also through the recruitment industry, so staying connected with similar businesses or similar size businesses, so that you have that network of, you know, people who are going through similar challenges, which I think as you progress in your leadership career is more and more important. And I've found it surprisingly, as I've sort of matured in my career, it's easier to network than you perhaps perceive it to be when you first get going with it, because people are very willing, and that's what I've learned, which is, you know, has been brilliant. So yeah,
that's a really good point, isn't it? Actually, I think often we're reluctant to reach out and ask for help where we need it, certainly in our careers, and yet we're also willing to try and help everybody else. So yeah, it's often just about biting that bullet and asking for what you want and need. Moving on to talk about podcasts, and obviously you're going to be taking over the mic. Rebecca, if I can start with you, what makes a great podcast for you?
Oh, Jane, and I was thinking interesting content, mm-hmm. So things appeal to me, and I like a variety, so not just work-related, other things, whether that's good old menopause or anything that's relevant to me at the time. So relatable, opportunity to learn, and I think the length is important. Mm. I haven't got a long attention span, but I notice over the last few years I love listening to my podcast in the car. I go dog walking and I try not to listen to anything, then I want to be a little bit more mindful. So I find really I enjoy a car journey now when I'm on my own, particularly listening to podcasts. And it's consistency. So me making a consistent sort of connection with one, I think, is interesting. And then pepper that with some sort of smaller ones. And I see quite a few interesting ones promoted on LinkedIn. And obviously I've noticed yours, Jane.
If you're a coach listening to this and you want to join our mission to make life that little bit easier for working mothers, then we have a limited number of places available on our coaching partnership programme. You'll get access to our community of thousands of mums interested in coaching advice, in-person support with your business development and marketing, and opportunities to create a valuable content library that resonates with your potential clients. Coaching can be a lonely business when you're on your own. We've got a supportive cohort of around 60 other coaches who can help you, and we bring marketing and communications tools and an active community of mums. I'm Jane, the founder of Careering Into Motherhood, and as a fellow female founder, I want to see your business thrive, and I want to help more women to access the game-changing powers of your professional coaching. Email me for more details, jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. That's jane@careeringintomotherhood.com. Now back to the interview.
Tracy, what makes a great podcast for you?
Yeah, I think I was thinking about this. One of my favourite types of podcasts is true crime. And I did think I really rate a podcast on its top tips and its takeaways. And I was thinking definitely wouldn't want top tips or takeaways from a true crime podcast. But I really do like the practical tips and the advice. And I like podcasts where that is summarised at the end, because you can get lost in a lot of content when it comes to podcasting. Mm. So that kind of clear summary at the end is something that I really value. I like a bit of humor in any kind of podcast, mm-hmm. if that can be injected. That always stands out to me when I do listen. And then I suppose it was similar, the length of time, you know, making that time productive when we are maybe doing house chores or going for a walk or whatever it might be, that you, particularly as busy working mums, every minute counts. So you have that opportunity to really multitask and consume some really good content through podcasts. So yeah, not going much longer than 30, 40 minutes max for me is a good length.
Yeah, absolutely. And Katie, what about you?
I suppose, again, something that's relatable and that resonates with the challenges I might be facing, either in my home life or in my professional life. I like podcasts that provoke honest and frank conversation, even if the subject matter is a little bit challenging as well. Mm-hmm. I'm obsessed at the moment with podcasts that look at the effects of eating a diet largely made of ultra-processed
foods. Oh, yeah, it's a really hot topic, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm sure some people find it boring, but I found it really interesting. And I think with anything, it's about doing what's manageable within your life. So I'm realistic enough to know that I don't have the time or the necessary skills to bake bread, as an example.
No career as a baker on the horizon.
So, again, timing, very, very important to me. So I also walk the dog, and I tend to listen to podcasts while I'm dog walking, because that's time where I can actually concentrate on something. So something shorter is important to me as well.
Brilliant. So we're expecting snappy, funny, something you can listen to in the car. It all sounds brilliant. And what is it that you would like to learn from talking to our guests. Obviously, we have a lot of coaches. We do sometimes have other people as guests on the podcast. So what are you all hoping to learn if we can ask, let's go to Tracy first for this one.
I'd hope that my sort of curious or slash nosy nature will hopefully get the guests to share their own sort of tried and tested methods or approaches that have been quite successful with any clients or people that they've worked with in the past. And, you know, particularly where they've seen a transformation, you know, positive transformation, that they can share those tips and things quite openly. And also hopefully get them to tell stories that, you know, to Katie's point, resonates with the audience. Mm. You know, that will be hopefully the most valuable outcome, is when people are listening and actually feel as though the stories that are being told resonate with them. Mm. And then I think there's another part of the question was around what have I learned from the community. The main thing for me is actually the importance of being part of one in the first place. That's probably the biggest takeaway I've taken away from careering into motherhood. I think that it's quite evident from the conversations that I see in the Facebook group and various things, is that women are often silenced through fear. And that could be fear from not getting a job that they've applied for, or not, you know, having a flexible working request rejected, or, you know, just feeling excluded, whatever that might be. And, you know, I think it's really important from that perspective that the community ensures that we don't feel silenced. Mm. And then I think as having children who are older now, I think it's important to stay connected with what younger parents are potentially being challenged with, and that you don't lose that insight into, you know, those early years, tough, but as your children grow up, you kind of could lose touch. And I think in a community like this really keeps you grounded and connected with those issues. Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, that's a really, really good point. And the same question to you.
Yes, so I've been a guest quite a lot on quite a few podcasts. So I think for me, I'm just really keen to be on the other side. And I've been on Alicia Murray's, who's obviously part of this wonderful community. And yeah, I just want to give the opportunity for people to have a voice and to perhaps share things that they might, let's say, not shared before, but just give them that opportunity. And I'm really looking forward to seeing where the conversations go to as well, because there's that, isn't there, rather than it all being very sort of mapped out.
Yeah, so definitely.
I'm really looking forward to that. And yeah, I love the community that you created, Jane, and it's, again, that safe space for us to empower each other. And very much like Tracy said, you know, my children are older now, and I hope I can sort of give a little bit of advice, but also learn and just keep in touch with what's sort of going on. And yeah, really excited about it.
Fantastic. And Katie, same question.
I think for me, it's gaining different perspectives on the challenges faced, kind of juggling work life and family life. Oh, but while still being able to develop and grow as a professional and as an individual, I think those aspects are really important. Maybe discussing how guests have faced the challenges and positively been able to advocate for themselves, which is so, so important nowadays. And I do think a lot of response is fear-based, as Tracy shared earlier. So I think being able to overcome that and just how people have done that is important to recognize.
Yeah, really important. Thank you for raising that really important point. Yes. And who would be your ultimate podcast guest, Katie?
Okay, so this might be a little bit left of center, but Joanna Lumley, the actress.
Okay. Yeah. Any reasons why?
Yeah, she's had a really long TV career. She's actually been working for 55 years, and she spent lots of those as a single working mum, juggling her career and raising her son. Also, when she started working, it must have been a very challenging environment to be able to advocate for herself in that industry and grow as a female performer. I think she has a really strong social conscience as well. And tends to use her platform to advocate for human rights and environmental causes as well. So I really admire that. And I suppose she's now, I think she's about 78, and she shows no ambition to retire.
That's really a good point. Really a good point. Well, Joanna Lumley's a publicist, if you're listening. We've got a guest, we'd love a guest slot for you on the Careering into Motherhood podcast. And Tracy, the same, we'll start to wrap things up, but the same question to you, who would be your ultimate guest?
Yeah, I found it quite a difficult question, really, but I'm going to I kind of landed on something a bit more personal. And unfortunately, sadly, my mom passed away very unexpectedly about 5 years ago, and she was, you know, far too young to have left us at the time. And actually, I don't think I ever really had a conversation with her about her own experience. I mean, she was 19 when she had me. She went to, you know, a job, and it was quite a male-dominated industry. It was the printing trade. So, you know, in hindsight now, I wish I'd had that conversation with her to really unpack the challenges she faced and how she navigated that, because it was just sort of taken for granted that she got through it. And we had top level conversations, and she always challenged things. She spoke her mind. Yeah, I do just think I would have liked to know the impact that that all had on her. I suppose my slight sort of takeaway from that for any listeners today would be, you know, if you have those people in your life, whether it's your mum or other important people, have those conversations, because you never know when you may not be able to have those conversations. And learn so much from them, can't you? And that kind of personal experience. So I wish I could have a chat with my mom through a podcast.
Well, I'm really sorry for your loss, but it sounds like she was an amazing woman, and I love that. As such, she really would be the ultimate podcast guest. And wrapping up then, Rebecca, the same question to you. Who would you love to interview?
I would love to interview Mel Robbins. So I listened to Mel's podcast twice a week. I know she's like, Mom, I've got a real girl crush on her. I adore
her. So we're just saying who she is for some. There may be some people in the far-flung corners of our listenership who don't know who Mel Robbins is.
Oh, yes. You need to Google Mel Robbins. Okay. So she's quite iconic, hasn't she? But no, she's got three kids. She's a powerhouse, and she's always giving tips and very much, like Katie said, learning from her. So I find her really inspiring. So I'd love to have half an hour.
Interesting. I think the two of you would make a great conversation. I'd love to be a fly on the wall. So again, Mel, if you're listening, please get in touch. Well, we're rapidly running out of time for today, but thank you all very much indeed. It's been great getting to know you. I think our listeners are in great hands, and I really look forward to listening to this this time from the other side of the microphone. Thank you all. Well, I hope you're as excited as I am about the new possibilities and new perspectives that Katie, Rebecca and Tracy are going to be bringing as they interview our guests. Three different women who each have had very different career paths and different family structures, family settings. So they're going to bring all of that insight with them as they take over the microphone for the next few months on the Careering into Motherhood podcast. Please do send me any thoughts, feedback, ideas for guests, and I hope you'll enjoy listening to them over the next few months. Thank you, and goodbye from me for now.